Remain standing as you're able for the reading of the gospel. It comes to us from Luke's gospel, the first chapter, beginning in verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who is said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." The angel departed from her. In those days Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped the servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and then returned to her home. It's the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
May be seen. You know, the Bible is full of call stories. People being called to do something for God. Noah was called to build an ark in the desert. Abraham was called to pick up and leave his home and go to some unknown place that God would show him. Moses was called to go back to Egypt where he's wanted as a murderer to lead the people of Israel out of their slavery. Saul of Tarsus, who we came to know as Paul the Apostle, was called to take the gospel to the Gentiles. That's to name a few of many people who are called, but certainly in the Bible, no one's call is more memorable than that of Mary. This young woman in a small town of Nazareth, who's engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, when the angel Gabriel shows up out of the blue and says, "Guess what? You are highly favored by God. God has chosen you. And he wants you to have a baby, even though you're a virgin, and the baby will be the And the long-awaited Messiah will be born to you. He'll be the King of Israel forever." Now that is a calling. But let's face it, when you read Mary's story, who can relate to that? I mean, we don't relate to such stories as that. Maybe back then people expected such extraordinarily divine things to happen to them, but we probably don't much anymore. We haven't had God come down to us from heaven, talk with us face to face like a friend to a friend like Abraham did. We haven't seen bushes being burned that aren't consumed and a voice speaking out of them, calling us to serve like Moses did. I mean, we haven't been struck down by some blinding light and heard this audible voice like Paul did. We probably haven't even seen an angel who came with a message, or at least one we could recognize, as Mary did. And yet, in the church, we still talk a lot about being called, especially when it comes to preachers. "How'd you get the call?" people used to ask. People used to ask it like it was some kind of rare disease, you know, or some miraculous cloud-splitting experience. "How'd you get the call?"
In the South, there was another old saying that said, lots of folks got the call in the cotton field. People do sometimes ask me, why did your job at Georgia Power to go into the ministry? I mean, what they're really asking is, how did you know you were called? I mean, how did you know what it was you were supposed to do? The better question was really, how did you know it was God who was telling you that's what you were supposed to do and not you? And I guess I could say, I thought I did know in the moment. But you know what moments are like. You know, moments are about emotion and adrenaline. You know, I had a moment, not reason and logic. But I can tell you, when the moment passes, you always have a little bit of doubt about what you thought you were so sure about in the moment. For me, it happened at a camp meeting service at a Nazarene campground outside the little town of Adrian, Georgia. I took a group of youth from my home church over there that night for the service on my birthday of all days. At the end of the service, the preacher said, I've had the feeling today that God was calling somebody here into full-time ministry. So if you're sitting out there and you know that's you, I want you to get up and come down here. And in that moment, something inside me said, that's you. Get up. And everything else inside me said, have I lost my mind? I mean, if there was such thing as a calling, I am the last person on the earth God would be calling. See, and the problem, however, wasn't just thinking that God might be calling me. The real problem was getting up and walking down that aisle in front of 300 or 400 people and saying God was calling me. I mean, how did I really know God was talking to me anyway and not to somebody else? You know, I later found out that another young man from my home church thought he was talking to him that night. And he went on to become a Methodist pastor too, like me. And how did I know that there weren't other people there that night that thought he was talking to them? It's just, I was the only one that night foolish enough to get up and walk down there. The problem, however, with me telling you that kind of story is it just reinforces our mistaken idea that being called is somehow for a select few. Or that to be called meant you've got to be ready to leave your job and to go some kind of vocational ministry or into the mission field. Which is why I entitled this sermon, When God Calls You, not If God Calls You. Now, Mary's story is indeed the most unique call in human history. A well-known Catholic prayer captures it. Some of you know that prayer by heart. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and in the hour of our death. Amen. Theotokos is what they called her at the Council of Ephesus in 431. Mother of God. The word literally means God-bearer. Some people argue that they should have called her Christotokos, which meant Christ-bearer or Mother of Christ. But as unique as Mary's call was, there is something for all of us to learn from her calling. In fact, Meister Eckhart, 13th century mystic and theologian, went so far as to say there's not just something to be learned from Mary's calling, there is something we all have in common with Mary's call. He famously wrote, we are all called to be mothers of God, for God is always needing to be born. What good is it to me if this eternal birth of the divine takes place unceasingly but does not take place in me? What good is it if Mary is full of grace, if I am not also full of grace? 1,200 years before that, the Apostle Paul wrote something similar about the church. You are the body of God. Of Christ, he said. Or in another letter he wrote, Christ in you is the hope of glory. In other words, we are all called to be bearers of Christ, people who are bringing Christ into the world. For he is always needing to be born again into our world, our time, our place. That is the calling of every Christian. But as I said, there are things to be learned from Mary about what does it mean to be called. The first, I would say, Mary teaches us that most callings are confusing, or Luke calls it perplexing. We may be perplexed because we doubt our own perception of what we are seeing or hearing or thinking or feeling. I mean, since most of us have never seen an angel, you know, maybe we aren't going to know when we're seeing or hearing from one. And we'll likely have trouble accepting that what we're seeing or hearing or thinking or feeling is really from God. When the still small voice speaks, most of us will not be absolutely sure if it's just me or if it's really God. And then some of us are perplexed, not because we don't think God calls, but because we don't think God would call us. We can't believe God would call me. I mean, remember Moses? Remember what he said? Who am I that I should go? Or you might remember Jeremiah when he was called. He said, but I'm only a child. Who am I? Or you might remember Peter when he was called. Get away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. I mean, it's certainly how I felt. And the problem with that, it means we don't really expect to be called. And when you don't expect to be called, you really aren't paying attention to God's calling. And when we aren't paying attention, it means God has to hit us over the head. And God probably doesn't really want to have to hit us over the head or have a large fish swallow us for 3 days. And maybe Gabriel's retired now. So I'm just saying, don't be surprised if you have some doubts that God may be calling you, because confusion and a lack of clarity is probably common to most all of us. But it's okay as long as we stay open to the possibility that maybe it is God who's calling me. That's where the next thing Mary teaches us comes in. And that is, the answer to a call requires faith in spite of doubt. I mean, later Elizabeth, who's pregnant with John the Baptist, when Mary comes to her home, will say to Mary, blessed is she who has believed what would be fulfilled in her that was spoken by the Lord. In other words, Mary has understandable doubts, right? Being told you're going to have a baby, you're a virgin, would do that to you. In the end, she risks believing what she's hearing in spite of her doubts, which are many. And she bases her leap of faith on a single truth that was shared with her that day by the angel. It was simply, nothing will be impossible with God. And I would add that faith doesn't mean that you won't be afraid to answer a call too. Being called scares you to death. Maybe it should. Maybe it's what keeps us humble. Maybe it's what keeps us dependent upon God who is calling us. You know, there's an old saying that says, God doesn't call the qualified, God qualifies the called. When you know you're in over your head, that's what a call does to you, you know you'll be afraid for what you're called to do. And you'll also be dependent upon God, the God for whom nothing is impossible. But the third thing that Mary teaches us about being called is really the most important. And if nothing else, this is the one thing I want you to take home today. This one thing. Remember this. In the end, being called requires only one basic thing. Availability. This is the scariest thing of all. The way Mary put it was, here I am, a servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. Now, it wasn't the first time we heard something like that in the Bible. Some of you might remember Isaiah's call as a prophet, and his response was, here I am, Lord, send me. Or maybe you know it from that popular hymn that we like to sing. You know the refrain that says, here I am, Lord. You can sing. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord. If you need me, I will hold your people in my heart. To be available is simply to say, here I am, Lord. You may help yourself to my life. Whoever I am, whatever I have, it's all yours. Now the reality is everyone is called. Every believer is called. But not every believer is available. You might remember a story that Jesus told about a king who threw a wedding banquet and he invited everybody. But when the time for the banquet came, some people were not available. At the end of that story, the statement Jesus makes is, "Many are called, but few are chosen." What he means by that is, many are called, but few are available when the time comes. Another way to understand this is that we should know as Christians we all have a general calling. But maybe the reason we don't have a sense of specific calling is we simply haven't made ourselves really available. See, often our problem with availability to God is we want to know what God is calling us to before we decide whether or not we want to be available to that. We say something like, "Lord, show me what you want me to do," which translated means, "Show me what you want me to do, and then I'll decide whether or not I want to do it." Instead, Mary presents herself before God and says, "Here I am. You may help yourself to my life." Availability, in other words, lifts the veil for revelation. You see, opportunity and need are all around us, all the time, every day. But when we make ourselves available, all of a sudden we'll start to see things we didn't see before, hear things we didn't hear before, recognize that we could do something we couldn't do before. We'll hear this still, small voice speaking louder than we've ever heard it speak before. You know, sometime after answering that call, I assume was from God, that came at a particular moment in time in a particular little out-of-the-way place by a preacher at a camp meeting, I realized later that the root of my call really came long before that, more than a year before that, in fact, when I found myself in a wilderness place. I was about as lost could be, and in a moment of desperation, I prayed a simple prayer. "Lord, I have made an absolute mess of my life. So if you are who I've always been told that you are, then here's your chance. I offer you my life. Do with it what you will." Now, without really knowing what I was doing at the time, I realize now I was simply making myself available. If I'd realized what might come after that, I might not have, but after I did, I began to see things I hadn't seen before. Notice things around me that I hadn't noticed before. Opportunities to change my life, for one. Opportunities to serve others, for another. I didn't think of the things that happened to me immediately after that as being called, per se, but that's what they were. I was answering a call long before I ever went to that camp meeting. And by the way, I still believe the only reason I heard that particular call that night at that camp meeting was it was the only way God knew He could keep me. You know, another line to a hymn that we like to sing says, "Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it. Seal it for Thy courts above." So I'm just saying, if you make yourself available to God, it doesn't mean you have to quit your job and go be a preacher or a missionary somewhere. God can probably hold on to you as a mom or a dad or a physical therapist or a school teacher or a lawyer or a retired person who every day is living out a call to bring Jesus into your world. But I am saying, if you make yourself fully available to God every day, every morning before you leave the house, you may be surprised at what God puts before you that day. What you will see or you will hear that you otherwise would have missed going about the business of your life. Now, I will admit, I often forget that in the morning. I begin my day in prayer and word, and one of the things I sometimes pray over, maybe often pray over, is my calendar. I'll look at the schedule for the day, and I'll ask God, would He bless the work that I do today and the people of my lives will be involved with that day? But I realize in many ways that's probably the wrong prayer to pray. It's not really making myself fully available that day. Maybe I should be praying, "God, I don't know what you need from me today, but I'm available. You may help yourself to my life, to my time, my talent, my energy, my money, anything you need is yours today." Now, one last thing. There is some question as to whether or not Mary had a choice in the matter. I mean, I am pretty sure that had she have said to the angel Gabriel, "No thanks, I'm about to get married, check with me later on," that she wouldn't have endured the disappointment of her fiancé and the scandal of her pregnancy and giving birth in a cattle stall and living as a refugee in a foreign country, nor watching her son die a brutal death on a cross. But neither would she be called Mother of God. And neither would she have lived and died knowing that the yielding her life to God was used in the salvation of all humanity. Every call in every person, whether you have a divinely inspired moment or simply an opportunity that presents itself in everyday life, it is an opportunity to bring Christ into the world, into a troubled situation, into a person in need. So this morning, as we close, I want to invite you, if you're willing to risk making yourself available to be called, I'm going to ask with you to pray a prayer with me. Some of you have prayed it before. It's in our hymnal. It's on page 607. I'm going to ask you to take a hymnal, if you're ready, maybe willing to pray this prayer, and to pray it with me. 607. It's called A Covenant Prayer in the Wesleyan Tradition. If you're ready, let us pray. I am no longer my own, but Thine. Put me to what Thou wilt. Rank me with whom Thou wilt. Put me to doing, put me to suffering. Let me be employed by Thee, or laid aside for Thee, exalted for Thee, or brought low for Thee. Let me be full, let me be empty. Let me have all things, let me have nothing. I freely and heartily yield all things to Thy pleasure and disposal. And now, O glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Thou art mine, and I am Thine. So be it. And the covenant which I have made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. Amen. Amen. Amen.